you to our parent university session that delves into the social justice lessons and their use in our district this year and beyond. Next slide, please, Emily. There are a number of reasons that we're leveraging the Learning for Justice standards to build a foundation for the inclusive and anti-racist work in our district. So as many of you know, in March of 2019, our Board of Education unanimously approved our equity policy. And a key commitment in that policy is to establish a framework, and I'm quoting, that will enable us to eliminate the racial and cultural biases that affect student learning and achievement, and to promote environments that are intentionally welcome, respect, and value diversity and inclusion. And in addition, this policy also seeks to disrupt societal and historical inequities arising from institutional racism and white supremacy in our schools, and to eliminate disparities based on student status so that all students will benefit and reach their potential. So this work is also supported by Illinois State Board of Education and their culturally responsive teaching and learning standards that are rolling out. But most importantly, this work is just foundational to who and what Oak Park is. And beyond that, it's simply for us, just the right work, and it's just work. Next slide. As we move into this session, I would invite you to just listen with curiosity, to be patient with yourself, with us. This is a process. And also just recognize that all of us are still continuing to learn, and that is our journey that we're going on together. Slide. And since emotions are normal, expected, and necessary, we just need to acknowledge and understand how we engage with each other's emotions so that we can collectively receive this session with open hearts and minds. So I'll pause here just for a few minutes or a few seconds to allow you to absorb the common emotions that people of color may experience when we talk about race and identity, and also the common emotions that white people may experience when discussing race and identity. Next slide. So one of the things that I'm most proud of and excited about are the people that are here with us on this journey. So we are but representations of the scores of folks who are living and breathing this work with our students every day. So I invite you to celebrate the identities of all the presenters here, and know that they are all equity warriors in this work. So I get a chance to tell you who I am. I am Dr. Ebony Lofton, the Chief Academic and Accountability Officer for the district. We also have Dr. Tawanda Lawrence, who I'm going to hand it off to in just a moment, who is our Senior Director of Curriculum Instruction and Assessment. Emil Williams is here, our second grade teacher from Irving School. Welcome, amazing, welcome. Our Betsy Parkinson, our Curriculum Coordinator. Jen Browning, fifth grade teacher at Irving School. Maggie Cahill, our Culture and Climate Coach for Hatch, Holmes, Lincoln, and Whittier. And Katie Trafin, our Culture and Climate Coach for By, Irving, Longfellow, and Mann. And when I say that this is an amazing group of people, this is an amazing group of people who really kind of have lifted this work up in their classrooms and have just really made this come to life for us. So I will hand it over to Dr. Lawrence to talk about some more.
Thank you, Dr. Lofton. Good evening, everyone. So our goal for implementing an anti-racist curriculum is to develop students who are able to identify injustices and act in a way that promotes justice and equity. We understand that schools are a reflection of our society. So in the wake of social justice and anti-racism demonstrations, we must support our students in becoming global citizens in a diverse democracy. So as Dr. Lofton previously mentioned, our work around anti-racism is grounded in our district's equity policy. Next slide, please. So where have we been? Next slide. Everything we do in District 97 begins with our vision, in which we are committed to creating a positive learning environment for all students that is equitable, inclusive, and focused on the whole child. Our inclusive and anti-racism curriculum work began with our district releasing a statement of our commitment to anti-racism. This statement was developed in collaboration with the Teaching and Learning Department, the Department of Equity, equity policy, which is our guide for this work. It also highlighted our use of Learning for Justice standards and the resources, and provide additional resources for staff and families to explore. The district's commitment to anti-racism is posted on our district's website. And at this time, I'm going to copy it and paste the link in the chat so that when you have some time, you'll get an opportunity to explore that as well. That went through. So at this time, we would like to honor and give credit to those who have been a part of this work from the very beginning. Our Diversity Council has provided our team with insightful feedback on our units. The Equity team has partnered with us and supported our middle schools with their unit on STAMPED. Our fifth grade department has really taken this work around anti-racism to the next level. So we're really proud of what they have done this year. Oh, and last but not least, we want to recognize the incredible work of all District 97 teachers for incorporating these units into their instruction in the midst of a pandemic while transitioning from remote learning to hybrid and now full in person. So thank you to all of our staff. Next slide. The resource our district has adopted to support our inclusive and anti-racism curriculum is Learning for Justice, formerly Teaching Tolerance. So at this time, I would like to address a question that was submitted regarding the name change. Learning for Justice provided an explanation for this on their website, and the decision to change the name was to reflect the evolution of their work that has occurred over the last 30 years, from reducing prejudice to tackling systemic injustice. So I also want to put that in our chat as well, so that if you want to explore that a little bit more, you can. So Learning for Justice is a free resource. The Teaching and Learning Department and Department of Equity collaborated around this being the best resource for introducing our work to staff and students. The social justice standards are a roadmap for anti-bias education at every stage of kindergarten through eighth grade instruction. So it really provides coherence and a common language for grades K through eight. The organizational structure is divided into four domains: identity, diversity, justice, and action. And these domains represent a continuum of engagement for grades K through eight in anti-bias, multicultural, and social justice education. Next slide. Where are we going? I'm sorry. Where are we now? I feel like where are we going? Do we need to go back to that slide?
I think first we're going to do where are we now, and then we're going to talk about where we're headed from here.
Okay, thank you.
No problem. Yeah, so where are we now this school year? What we did was our team curated lessons from the Teaching Tolerance or Learning for Justice resource, and took that information and put it in a usable, user-friendly way so that teachers could begin to start teaching on the first two standards, identity and diversity. So during second and third trimesters this school year, teachers introduced these lessons primarily during the morning meeting time, and then also had opportunities to embed pieces of those lessons throughout their day and week as well. We'll talk about this a little bit more in detail later, but we're supporting the lessons with the purchase of books for each school as well. So our team compiled a list of books that would help support the different topics, and we'll share what some of those books are shortly. And one of the things we're most looking forward to is that we've established an inclusive and anti-racist curriculum committee made up of a variety of different staff members across buildings with a diverse makeup to advise and continue this work. We think it's important as we've just rolled this out to get feedback and understand how the lessons have been received by teachers, by students, how they'll best be facilitated throughout the day moving forward. And so we're ready to make adaptations and changes based on that feedback for the next year. So I'm going to pass the microphone to Maggie.
So the lessons themselves, the standards as well, were developed by Learning for Justice, developed by a diverse group of teachers who work for Learning for Justice or who are associated with the Learning for Justice group. And you'll hear about the standards later, but the lessons themselves cover 8 different identities. So you'll see here on this slide, the lessons cover race and ethnicity, religion, ability, class, immigration, gender and sexual identity, bullying and bias, as well as rights and activism. And a question we often get is, how is this different from what we're already doing with Second Step? And Second Step is our district-wide SEL program, our social emotional learning program, that was implemented several years ago. And it's taught once a week across all of our buildings. And the Second Step curriculum focuses on direct social skills. So Second Step is addressing self-management, empathy, problem solving, as well as emotion management. And there's some overlap when we think of bullying. There's some overlap when we are addressing empathy, but really the Second Step lessons are qualitatively different than teaching tolerance, Learning for Justice lessons. What Learning for Justice does is it really directly targets these different identities, and it teaches vocabulary, it builds on discussions. So while these 2 different curriculums and programs complement each other, there's absolutely a place and a need for both of these curriculums in our district. And now Betsy is going to talk a little bit more about the standards within Learning for Justice.
Thanks, Maggie. I'm Betsy Parkinson. I'm the elementary curriculum coordinator. And Dr. Lawrence talked a little bit about the 4 domains of the standards and how they build on each other. So there are the identity standards that really delve into those identities that Maggie just shared, the diversity anchor standards, the justice anchor standards, and the action anchor standards. It is a continuum of engagement across these standards. But this year, next slide, please, we really went with the identity and diversity standards first. So all of the standards are based on some work from Louise Derman-Sparks. And the standards are pretty much the common social justice standards used in a bunch of different resources. But we went in, as we started to develop a resource that teachers could take into their classroom, we got a lot of feedback. And after talking to the Diversity Council, they really strongly encouraged the teachers this year to focus on identity and diversity first. Because much like reading and writing and math, social justice standards have foundation work for our students and for the adults that are working with the students. So we really have to understand ourselves first and our own identities. And that's the foundation of understanding how we interact with the world, with other people. It's how we learn about diversity. And then we learn that sometimes in our world that not everybody is treated in the same way. Not everybody interacts in the world in the same way. And so once we understand that, we understand that identities have value, we are able to take action when we see that some people's identities are not being valued. Next slide, please. So focusing on identity and diversity first, this is what the teachers are able to see and use in their classroom. So the focus is really on those standards. So here are those identity standards for you. And this was, I think, an early draft. But the teachers were able to look at those standards and then choose 1 or 2 or 3 lessons that really support the discussion around those standards. Next slide, please. Thank you. And here are our diversity standards. So as teachers put those standards in the forefront, they have options of lessons that they can use to discuss the standards and to introduce the standards. But what we're here tonight, I think the highlight of tonight is to really understand the student experience. So next slide. I'm really excited that we have two amazing District 97 teachers here with us tonight. One of them personally taught my own daughter, and I know that she's phenomenal. Thanks, Jen Browning, for being here. So Jen and Emil are Irving teachers, who are going to talk a little bit about what it looks like to interact with these standards in a classroom. And I think Mr. Williams is going to go first, because he also has to go coach baseball. So not just a social justice warrior, also a coach. So we're going to let him go first and talk about what this looks like in his classroom.
Cool. Yeah, I definitely want to be here just because just having the conversation and finding a way to have it with kids of all ages, I think, is amazing and great. And so appreciative of that. I was at the Diversity Council meeting with Betsy when I think really the main focus and idea was that it's nice that we're making an effort to have the conversation, because I think silence has been the main thing for a long time. And so I think it's just great to have the curriculum. As far as the experience in my room, I thought it was great. I think that school is always best when students can bring themselves to the classroom. I think that's how you make a connection to the work, make a connection to your community, is when it can mean something. And so we're always trying to do that, right? We're always trying to do that with social studies, whether it's a culture project or with math, and, you know, some type of project where you can add things and do things with your budget in your house, right? Any way you can connect makes the learning better. And so it's the same. We're talking about social justice and having these kids first with the identity standards bring themselves. And if you go back and look, you know, at the standards on the slides, all of those things are just opportunities for kids to bring their own culture, their own experience, their own ideas, their family and homes to the classroom. And the diversity piece kind of comes naturally, because it happens when we all listen, right? And actively listening. And so I felt like that was the beauty of it, is all of the projects were hands-on, you know, being comfortable in your own skin. They got to draw self-portraits, talk about themselves, what they thought was great about themselves. There's one example of bringing yourself to class. And then the share piece is where the diversity standard comes in. It's because people get to see different, you know, people, different ways of life. And so I used it in the morning for a morning meeting during that transition when we went from remote to hybrid. And I just did it every day. I did all of the lessons because I just thought it was a great way to do it. Different than Second Step, where we do it once a week. I think it was nice to have kind of like a camp type of feeling where we really got the vibe going for all the days in a row. And the beauty of it is you can always revisit the lessons and the activities for the rest of the year. And so just overall, my experience with it was good. I applaud the district for doing it. You know, I'm definitely for it. And as far as methodology and teaching, it really honored it by allowing students to bring themselves to class and then being able to share. And so I just think it was great. Positive experience in my room.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. So I think we're just going to scroll through a couple more of the slides that the teachers might share with the students if they wanted to. And then some of the activities. And then Ms. Browning is going to talk about the fifth grade experience. The fifth grade team, Ms. Browning included, did some phenomenal work this summer, really dove into it. And brought it to life in the fifth grade classrooms. There's great collaboration across the district. And so Ms. Browning is going to talk a little bit about that. Thank you, Mr. Williams.
Hi, my name is Jen Browning. I teach fifth grade at Irving, and I was very happy to join a committee of other fifth grade teachers in the district to bring some of this work together, because we as fifth grade teachers know that this is a big transition year. And students are really dialed into and wanting to talk about who they are and who they want to be and where they're going. And so identity is a really huge component of fifth grade. And so I was really excited to be able to look at the standards from, you know, the Teaching for Justice, and, you know, was formerly Teaching Tolerance. And that's something that I've always incorporated in my classrooms from previous years, because it really does change the lens in which you are looking at things that have happened in our history, and giving students an opportunity to question and critically think about things that they've been taught. So this year we decided to really incorporate that into our social studies lessons. I am a social studies teacher and my students go to another teacher for science, and that teacher's students come to me for social studies. So I have the opportunity to really dial in with a lot of students in the school in terms of learning about these standards that deal with social justice. And I love the identity beginning, because fifth graders only want to talk to you about what and who they are. And so some of the things that are up on the screen right now are examples of students who built an identity web because they want you to know that they love soccer. They love rollerblading. They're observant and creative. And I think this web in and of itself is so creative, and it's just such an outlet for students to be able to tell you who they are. And while you're listening to them, it also opens up for them to see their similarities and differences from one another. So then we get into, like, beyond personal identity, community identity, and who you are with your family and who you are with the people that you live around in your community. So there's an example here of where I'm from, and it's a poem that we worked on after reading a lot of mentor texts of different people who are able to communicate things that are important to them and why they are important. And the kids get to interact with one another about what makes them special and unique. And I really did love that this poem says, "I'm from two lands far, far away," because this person chose to identify with their parents who immigrated here from different places. And they start to talk about it, and they start to build their own community within the classroom. And so I've really embraced using these standards and bringing them into my classroom, because it just opens up a whole dialogue with kids that normally doesn't organically happen. But once you bring it into the classroom, it just is such an opportunity to have a conversation about differences, similarities, and what just makes us the human race. And I love that's what my students say. Racism just means we're the human race, Miss Browning. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't who your parents are. Like, you're the human race. And I just hold on to that because I learned something from them. Every day we talk about this is just like a huge learning opportunity for me, because I was never taught this way. And I think it is just an amazing experience for the students. So after we took this unit on identity in the first trimester, and then we took the unit on diversity in the second trimester, Irving School provided all of its fifth grade students with a book called Harbor Me, which is written by Jacqueline Woodson. And she, her son personally said to her, "Mom, I don't know why the books in my classroom don't actually represent who I am and who, like, my friends are in the classroom. And so I really think you need to write a book that does that." And I think that's amazing, because, like, I can remember growing up and seeing books that were, you know, not necessarily representative of the neighborhood that I grew up in and the people that live there. And so she really took her son's words to heart. And as you can see on the cover of the book, Harbor Me, the kids get to learn about what it means to harbor one another and support and be shelter and comfort for one another, no matter what's going on in their lives. And so the book does address a multitude of layers in identity, diversity, community, insecurity, comfort. I mean, it just really runs the gamut. And I thought having that book tied all of these standards together in a book study that was super meaningful. I just finished teaching it and talking about it in my own class, and I'm now with my colleague class doing it, and they are like, "I can't wait to read the next chapter." They're very engaged. And as you can see, one of the conversations that we had was about injustice in America and why certain identities struggle with the things that they are going through. And so this young boy in particular is really having an issue with the fact that ella habla español y es una problema, and it's a problem, and it breaks his heart that the people around him can't embrace that that's who he is. And so the kids really have huge and beautiful dialogues about it. And this is a response that my student wrote. And just seeing fifth graders be able to synthesize and process the information in the way that they do just only exemplifies to me that this is so needed in our curriculum. And I'm super happy to teach it every day. And I just think it is amazing that, especially in fifth grade, you know, we have a group of kids who are at the, you know, higher end of elementary, and they really do see what's going on in the news, and they really do understand that there are things that we need to become like social justice warriors for, and understanding who they are and where they want to be and where they want to go with that, I think is just an amazing way that we can help them learn and grow. So I am embracing it every day. We talk about things like this every day because they see the news, they hear us talking about it, and I'm just super proud that in this district it's something that like I'm encouraged and able to do. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Browning. You're the best. And I love that Harbor Me book as well. So we know that books are just a great gateway for some of these conversations. And so this slide just represents about a third of the books that we ordered just specifically to support some of these lessons. Multiple copies will be delivered to each school. These books were recommended by some of the members on our committee, and also just recommended from some of these resources. So we're excited to get these books in kids' hands and in teachers' hands, and continue those conversations, those rich conversations. And so I think we're going to pass it off just for just a couple other student experience.
Yeah, so we wanted to share some ways that we've seen the ripple effect of the lessons. After the lessons have been taught, the learning still continues and teachers continue to have those conversations. This is Joel Blecko, who's a kindergarten teacher at Irving, and actually happens to be my daughter's kindergarten teacher. And they had been learning about gender stereotypes, which is one of our diversity lessons for the social justice deck. And this is a clip from the newsletter that Mr. Blecka sent home to parents, where after they had talked about gender stereotypes, they were doing a writing assignment, and one of the kids wanted to write about Mabel, the class's elephant puppet. And a student said, "Mabel, do you want us to use she, he, or they in a sentence describing you?" And then said that she prefers the pronoun she. And so this is a way to see that the kids were really taking the lesson to heart and applying it throughout the day. And also, you know, a way for Mr. Blecka to share with the parents about what the kids are learning about, and helping us to have a shared vocabulary and check in with our kiddos about what they're learning about in class as well. And I'm going to pass the mic to Maggie to share about a lesson in Ms. Armstrong's class.
So this next slide shows a picture of Ms. Armstrong, and she's teaching. This is when we were remote earlier in the year, and she's teaching a lesson about community. And she's at MAN, so she's part of the MAN first grade team. And so we've seen this community lesson adapted across the schools. And we saw at Holmes, when the Holmes fourth grade team taught this lesson, they define community differently. So they develop interactive slides, and they define community as their Holmes Hawks community. And they unpacked that with the class. So this is just an example of how the lessons are intended to anchor the learning, but really our staff, our teachers have done a great job personalizing them for the needs of their kids and the needs of their buildings. So this is just one example of that here. And the next slide shows a little bit about the teacher experience. When we launched or shared some of the lessons with staff, the staff at Holmes School did a word wall, a word cloud, about some of their own feelings in teaching this. And you can see some of the themes that came up here. Hopeful being the biggest, excited, overwhelmed. So a goal this year for ourselves and our students has been really naming our feelings, unpacking that. And this is just one way that really amplified some of the ways that staff were feeling after really taking a look at the lessons and talking with their teams about how they might be able to implement them.
So where are we going? Next slide. At the elementary level, our area of focus is really to build the foundational skills. Developmentally, we know they can be activists, but we must build their capacity for seeing injustice first. So this slide shows how we established this foundation at the elementary schools by rolling out the standards in phases. So first trimester, we really took time to develop the inclusive and anti-racist curriculum and provided professional learning for staff through the Learning for Justice self-paced modules. During second trimester, we began implementing the identity standards. Third trimester, we're currently implementing the diversity standards. And so this summer, we are going to reconvene our committee to continue to curate resources for the justice and action standards that will be implemented during the upcoming school year. Just like we're on this journey at the elementary level, our students will continue their journey at the middle school through the IB program that is activist-centered. We are thrilled to continue the pilot of our African American history class next year at the middle school. And the book group that our middle school teachers and students participated around STAMPED. Also next year, all of our kindergarten through fifth grade teachers and the individuals in Society's department at the middle school will engage in professional learning around the Illinois Learning Standards for Social Science, which have been revised to be more culturally responsive. We are also going to conduct a review of curricular resources and materials that are aligned to the Illinois Learning Standards as well. Next slide.
All right, we had a series of questions submitted for tonight, and we'll take the next few minutes to answer those questions. And I'm actually going to kick us off with the answer to our first question. So our first question that was submitted is, will talking about race and teaching race make my child more racist? And the answer is no. Before I get into why, though, it is important to note that the choice to talk about or to not talk about racism in and of itself is privilege, and it's white privilege. And it's a privilege that really is not afforded to many Black and brown families. For many families, they don't have the choice to talk about racism because talking about it is a means of survival for their family members. So I thought that was important to note before we get into more of the long answer. And the long answer is that talking about race won't make kids more racist. And there's a large field of research behind this. Researchers like Dr. Beverly Tatum and other psychologists in the field have learned that our children are not blank slates. They're not colorblind. And they see and they recognize differences, including race, from a really young age. And this graphic here shows that. And I will link that in the chat right now. So it shows that as early as 3 to 6 months, kids are recognizing differences, they're seeing race. And what we know about our curious kids is that they're always trying to make sense of their world. And they're coming up with ideas about why these differences exist, even before they can put words to it, which comes at just about 5, when they're really attaching words to what they're seeing and able to express a little bit more eloquently. So really giving kids accurate vocabulary and having discussions or conversations as these differences are being observed is essential, because we live in a world that is really, racism is really systematized. So it's in the air we breathe. It's in the water we drink. It is truly all around us. So we don't want to let kids draw their own conclusions. If we do that, and if we delay these conversations, it's really much more difficult to change a misconception or a racist belief that's been internalized from within their environment. Bias, implicit bias, comes from silence, comes from that teaching that will just reinforce racism further. So as parents, as educators, we need to partner on this. And as a parent, that might look like, you know, meeting your child where they're at developmentally, taking a curious approach. And actually, on this infographic in the lower right-hand corner, there's a lot of great resources that really tap into doing that. And one, just one last thing to note, you know, schools themselves, all schools are rooted in white supremacy. So being proactive and teaching students about racism has the potential to make those instances of racism or microaggressions less frequent. So we know it's absolutely not going to shield kids from experiencing racism, but when they do, our goal is that they have the vocabulary, the language, the skills to work through it. So a colleague today actually shared a quote with me that really resonated, and I'm going to pull it up. It really related to this question and what we're discussing, and it reads, "Inaction is not an option. We cannot, in good conscience or good teaching, stand by and watch another generation be marginalized because we don't take action." And as a district, these lessons aren't all of the action that we're taking, but it's definitely an important part of it. And I think our next question, I'm actually going to hand it back to Tawanda for that.
I think Dr. Lockton's going to take that question.
Yeah, these are mine. So the first question is, were other programs like the Theory of Enchantment considered? So I talked a little bit about our equity policy and those key tenets that exist within it when I started, and that is a touchstone for our work. So whenever we're thinking about aligning a resource to what it is that we do, our touchstone, like I said, is our equity policy. So for us, voting for justice standards was simply best aligned with that policy and also our values and the work that we hope to do in our classrooms. The second question is when D97 was deciding on its anti-racism curriculum, was there an RFP put out with specific goals and measurable outcomes? Great question. So I think Dr. Lawrence alluded to earlier, we do have a set cadence for a review of our curricular resources that's already calendared and kind of already set out for probably about the next 5 to 6 years. For us, we also alluded to this earlier, learning for justice standards are really meant to be embedded in the work of teaching and learning. So it really touches a number of different areas and doesn't necessarily stand alone, but really kind of, as we're thinking about embedding this work and what we want students to know and be able to do, it really is something that is embedded. But again, as we think about kind of the curricular resources that we will adopt, this will absolutely be a lens through which we see all of those future resources. Next question. Next slide.
So this slide shows two questions that we received. One question was focused on the training that teachers have engaged in, and the other question addressed teachers of color teaching and co-teaching this content with white teachers. This year, all of our staff first completed training by using the self-paced resources from Learning for Justice. These modules teachers completed aimed to help them understand the standards and identity, how to use them to engage students in a range of anti-bias, multicultural, and social justice issues. So I'd like to put the link to these modules in the chat for you to explore as well. So the self-paced learning was followed up by engaging teachers in content circles with other members of their school staff, facilitated by our District 97 principals, assistant principals, culture and climate coaches. Teachers focused on the first two modules, really unpacking identity and unpacking diversity to align with the domains they are focusing on with students this year. So we plan to continue with these modules next year as we move into justice and action domains. These lessons are being taught by white teachers, sometimes with and sometimes without people of color as co-teachers. We believe that it's important that white teachers are allies in this work, co-conspirators, and leaders in this work. So we acknowledge that our teaching staff is majority white, and this work will therefore not move forward without white teachers being a part of the process. So we believe in the power of representation as well, and we strive to build an inclusive, representative curriculum and overall school culture where all students feel like they belong. Next slide, please.
I believe we just answered this. The next slide. It's a huge thank you to all of you who joined us. Again, we know that you could have been anywhere on your Thursday after evening on such a beautiful day. So thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to the team for sharing their wealth of knowledge with you. So again, have an amazing evening. If you're any questions, feel free to leverage Let's Talk. We'd love to answer those. And again, have a great evening. Thank you for engaging with us.